Today, what I'd like to do to start off the session is talk at a higher level just a little bit about where SharePoint's come from, where it is today with the 2010 release, and set the stage for where you as developers can take it as you work in the environment, add value by either configuration or coding solutions in the SharePoint, on the SharePoint platform, and take that out to add value to your customers and the people you serve. And so hopefully we can paint that picture and give you an idea of some of the things that we're seeing with customers, some of the value that we see people bringing, and talk a little bit about our future strategy and where we're taking it as we broaden out the user base by making it available not only as a server offering but also online. Before I do, though, at least for the people that are present here in the room, I would like to get an idea of your experience with SharePoint and your technical depth, what kind of work you do with SharePoint. So first of all, how many people do active SharePoint 2010 development? Just give me a raise of the hand. So we get quite a few. How many people are completely new to SharePoint development? You might be familiar with it, but you've never really used it. Okay, we've got a great group. Welcome. Glad you all came. This is really targeted. These sessions are targeted to provide an overview of the types of things you can do with SharePoint. And so for those of you who aren't that familiar with it, hopefully you'll get a good overview of the power of the SharePoint platform for building collaborative applications. And those of you that have worked with it before, hopefully it's not too much review. Hopefully you get an idea of some of the additional things that can be done. And look forward to hearing your feedback on the sessions also. So let's get started a little bit here. Talk a bit about, from a business perspective, where is SharePoint today in the marketplace? Well, it is a very large business for Microsoft, over $1.3 billion. In fact, we were doing some comparisons of SharePoint to some of the other large software companies out there, and it's pretty amazing where, as if it were a standalone business, if it were SharePoint were a company in and of itself, it would be right there at the top of most large enterprise software vendors. And what that means, though, sure, it has a lot of success in the marketplace. In fact, even being the fastest growing server product in Microsoft history in its first several years in the marketplace. But what that really means is that there's a tremendous amount of user adoption. And so when you go to a larger organization in the United States, for example, most of them will have some exposure to SharePoint. And most IT departments have either deployed it in-house or have already licensed it and are looking at creating plans to putting that forward. So as a developer, whether you're working in-house at an organization in the IT department or on the development staff, or whether you're a consultant or systems integrator who's bringing SharePoint solutions out to the market, there is a rich bed of opportunity that we're seeing. A lot of organizations have implemented the core, and the opportunity on top of that is, of course, to add value-added solutions on top of that platform. So it's a rich base from which you can go and take advantage of. In fact, as you can see in some of these other statistics, we see a large ecosystem building around the SharePoint offering with over 300 software vendors that have built package solutions that either work on top of SharePoint, add value to SharePoint, or if you build a software application like a line of business application, you can expose your transactions and your business intelligence information inside of SharePoint to make it more accessible to a broader range of users within the organization. Just to get a profile along these lines, how many people here work within an organization's IT department or development staff? So not a consultant or not a software vendor, but a corporate IT staff. Okay, great. How many people work with software vendors? You build a software product, anybody? One or two, three, a dozen or so? And how many people work with either a consulting organization or a systems integrator? Okay, so we've got a great mix here that can fit a lot of these categories. In fact, the third one here, we have over 8,000 partners trained through Ignite. Now, when we say partners, we're referring mostly to systems integrators. So a large ecosystem out there of people who are trained and experts. Maybe you've been through those that have worked with SharePoint, you've been through some of our Ignite training or some of our early Microsoft Learning courses or more advanced ones that we've brought out in order to ready the market for the 2010 release. 8,000 is actually an old number. We're a little bit higher than that now, probably well over 10,000. But one thing that I hear as I go out and travel talking to customers about SharePoint, I get a very common request, and that is that they need more partners that have depth in the product. So part of what we're doing here today is bringing more people up to speed on SharePoint, giving that vision, because there is tremendous demand out in the marketplace. A lot of people in the market, a lot of our partners have the basics also. They can do the installations of SharePoint, the basic configurations, but a lot of this demand that I'm hearing is actually for the advanced scenarios where people are developing solutions on SharePoint. So a great opportunity we see for people not only to bring value to their clients, but also bring value to themselves. This skill set is highly valued in the marketplace and should create a lot of opportunities individually for people who get skilled up in addition to the organizations that are adopting it. And then one thing we like to point out in terms of the newer workloads, we talk a lot about the collaborative applications, using SharePoint to make employees more productive, sharing of information and working together on projects and within teams. But in the last couple of releases, we've created the internet site version of SharePoint. So you can take a lot of that power and actually point it outside your firewall, both for authenticated scenarios, extranet sites, so that people that you work with on an authenticated basis can collaborate on projects, but also internet sites, .com sites. We have tens of thousands of sites running on SharePoint. And those are pointed outside. You'll see some of the best website designs. We've obviously, since the 2007 release, really actively promoted sites like Ferrari.com. But if you look at the broad range, you can see everyone from consumer products corporations, these auto manufacturers, Volvo, for example, also down to smaller organizations, small government sites, educational sites, colleges, community colleges, et cetera, and businesses of all sizes. So we see a large number of customers taking that power that's widely of SharePoint that's widely adopted and utilized inside the firewall and now being pointed outside. And that's an additional development opportunity also, because whether you're doing customized web parts for visualization and interactivity on the website or exposing the collaborative applications to constituents that a company wants to interact with outside, there's a lot of opportunity there. So something to consider, that it's not just for inside the firewall. And we have some great support in the industry from publications like eWeek talking, well, we kind of like the praise they give us there, that people might be surprised at what the most useful product at Microsoft is. The way people are utilizing and taking advantage of the power of SharePoint is really impressive. There's so many different applications and ways that it can be leveraged in the organization that we hear quite a few customers talking about that, talking to the press about it, talking to analysts. We get a lot of praise like that for the product line. It also can be a tremendous cost savings. So with the quote from Constellation Energy there, they talk about how by combining several different collaborative workloads, managing documents and publishing portal information and working together onto the SharePoint platform, they were able to not just decommission high-cost, proprietary, siloed applications that they used in the past, but they were also able to streamline their development. So by having people that understood the SharePoint platform, they're able to go forward and provide more solutions without having to have specialized resources on all of those legacy applications. It can be difficult to find. So a couple of different examples of how the product is taking off in the marketplace and the solid base that is created for people that are building solutions on SharePoint. And I could keep going on about some of the quotes. One thing to point out as you look at the breadth of these is it does range from cost savings to value add, and it spans the different workloads that SharePoint does. But one thing we find when we ask people about SharePoint, we'll talk to an IT department, for example, and the person who works on SharePoint has a pretty good grasp of the breadth of the product and the capabilities. They'll talk about the way it can be used for document management and collaboration and how you can build sites for departments to communicate information, or you can have project sites where people can work together, not only share documents, but keep status up to date and make that information available inside and outside the firewall, and then turn it to the outside and use it for an internet site. And they can walk through all of those different capabilities of SharePoint, and they can see how it adds value to the organization. But we do find a lot of times that people who aren't as familiar with it might say, yeah, I really like SharePoint. And you ask them, well, what exactly does it do? And they say, well, I collaborative platform or something. Well, what is that? Well, it's, I don't know exactly. I use it for documents and I think it does a lot, but I actually don't know when I'm using SharePoint. So one thing that we're working on is how we can get the broader market understanding the core value of SharePoint, what an average user would use it for every day, and then expand out upon that so they can see how it can be most relevant to them on a day-to-day basis and then expand out in their usage. So that's one of the things that you'll see as you look at all the great testaments to the value of SharePoint. We still want to be more clear about what it does. And if we have time to talk to somebody and really give them the full value, somebody who's deep in SharePoint, we'll talk about it on these terms. We'll talk about SharePoint being a business collaboration platform for the enterprise and the internet. The core, if we go back in time, when SharePoint first came out, anybody work with SharePoint 2003? Okay, so we get quite a few people here. Anyone know the code name when it was first being developed? Shout it out. Anyone? Tahoe, there it is. All right, so some people have a rich history with the product. When Tahoe first came out, it was very clear what the value was. It was really two things. In fact, when it was first rolled out at Microsoft, people that weren't exposed to it immediately adopted it because it was just very simple what the value was for an end user. I could put my documents there, make it available for a wide number of users, control the security, so I could restrict it, read-only, full read-write, and I could allow that to be searchable and findable for people across my SharePoint sites. And so that was really high value for the end user, because what was happening before that? Before that, people would put it on their hard drive and maybe share their file folders. But that was really complicated. You had to do a lot of work to get that available and control the security. Or they would put it on a zip drive or a thumbnail or some form of hard media and pass it around. Or what was the most common form of collaboration is they would email documents all over the place. And then you would replicate out the documents. So an end user saw immediate value for that. And we used it extensively right when it was rolled out at Microsoft. I can put my documents up there. I can control it. We can work together on that document. I've got version control. I've got security. So really high value. Not really sexy. Not really sexy, but very high value. So that was one core pillar of the value. The other one was intranet portals. If you rewind back to that day, it still happens today, but it was just exploding back then. Every department, every team, a lot of individuals were building their own websites inside the firewall, their own intranet sites to communicate information. The HR department, there'd be someone who, you know, would go get one of the HTML editors and would put up a web, put up some kind of web server, and they would build out a little website for HR. And then someone over in finance would say, oh, I need to make my reports available, so I'll create a little website that has links, and then that will go to some file server to pick up the reports that I've published, and they'll use a different technology. And of course, IT probably had 10 different ones because everyone was tinkering with the web and getting different HTML editors and creating websites with, you know, graphic flames that are animated and, you know, really exciting stuff, right? But what happened was an explosion of intranet sites being built up on different technologies. And at a certain point, they would call up IT and say, need you to manage this, because the guy that was doing it out of his desk drawer with a server sitting on the floor has just left. And so can you come get this server and make this website work? And by the way, we're going to call you every time we need an update and yell if you can't do it within an hour. And so IT departments were just going, we cannot handle this explosion. And you couldn't find anything. If you didn't know what the URL was, or the IP address or what have you, you could not find that information because it wasn't indexed and searched across the organization. So it created all kinds of problems. So SharePoint came along, and immediately you had that core value for the end user of the documents, and for IT, we can get a handle on all these intranet portals that are popping up. And so they put SharePoint in place, and they had that ability to manage it. And it gave tremendous value to IT because it was a single platform that could be managed, fairly easy for business users to update stuff themselves. IT just give them permission on the site. They could then go and update the content or even configure the site if that was the permission allowed. And lo and behold, SharePoint was a hit, a big success in the across the world. And it started to take off. What we didn't anticipate, though, was kind of covered the sites and the content value props there. What we didn't anticipate was as people looked at SharePoint, they said, you know, because it's a portal, I should put web parts on this. I can start doing some really interesting stuff. And people started building extensions to SharePoint. And as they did that, they really started to push the limits on how the product was used. Hey, it's the web. I should be able to configure it and add application logic, and I'll add not only configuration and look and feel, but actual application logic to it. And as they did that, they came back to us and said, hey, we want more. And so in the next couple of releases, we added more and more developer capabilities to it. People would do stuff. They would connect to line of business systems. They'd create a web part that would connect to a line of business system. And we said, oh, we better make something for that, because a client web part that's calling out to line of business systems, that could be a security risk if they code that wrong, or it could be just really inconvenient for users to have to add, do their login each time they want to go to it. So there's got to be a better way, and there's got to be infrastructure that we can help manage that. So that was one. And another one might have been, oh, we actually, because it got documents, we want to do workflows. We want to make sure there's not just the ability to store and version control, but what about the approval process? So we started adding more and more logic for workflow logic around document creation and document management. And then I was part of the team that was doing the integration of Encompass, people that are familiar with that, our content management server that we bought many years back. We said, well, as we go to the outside the firewall, SharePoint's a great platform for now that we're doing the approval process of content and we're doing intranet portals. Why not have that same process where we can empower business users to update content with a full approval process and point that outside? So let's get web content management in there. And then we realized there are a bunch of documents out there, and people are saying, hey, we want to connect this into our enterprise content management systems where we do compliance and control of corporate records and information. And so it really started to push the limits, and people were doing all of these connections. And we saw that it was getting a little bit unwieldy as people did that. People would add all those, and they'd do it in different ways. And then they would say, hey, I really want tools to debug. I want an environment to program in that's consistent so I can go into Visual Studio and do everything right there, and so forth. And so that led us essentially to where we've come with the 2010 release, where we built out capabilities to support the core, what we call workloads, that developers and IT organizations and consultants were building on top of SharePoint. And that started with the core concept of sites. That's what SharePoint, kind of the metaphor that it uses, is you go to a website, you go to through the browser to a page, at least when you're using a PC client, and you go to a place that you can then collaborate, share work, share content, and share information. And that place can be associated with a group of individual users. It can be your own personal site where your colleagues and friends or corporation or what have you have access. It can be a team site, and that can be both an organizational team. The SharePoint development team can have a site that has all of their content and policies and documents. And it can also be a project site. It could be, you know, the budget for the next fiscal year approval process, and so you could have a specific site around that. And there's communities of people that work on that, and those communities might want to collaborate formally or informally through discussions and rating of content, etc. You move through to content. We talked a little bit about that. We wanted to make the content repository capabilities more robust so that you could not only connect into back-end legacy content management systems, but also have those records management features and the workloads that you might want to configure or customize in your organization built right in the SharePoint environment and use SharePoint as the repository. One of the key values we saw was search, where once you had your content and your sites and your communities out there, you wanted to be able to find the people, the content, and the information that's out there on the site. And so we were looking at SharePoint search, and we weren't getting the positive feedback that we wanted from search. It was, you know, the way we indexed and the types of engines that we, or the way we crawled the information, the way we provided results back wasn't really exciting. People, it was good, solid if you set it up right, but we didn't get the really super positive feedback and energy, and there was a lot of innovation going in the marketplace. So we looked outside and we purchased one of the most innovative companies in the search space, Fast, from Norway, brought them into the fold and put that into the 2010 release. And the Fast Search does some incredible things. And not only does it allow you to find all that content in SharePoint, but it has the ability to index other corporate content and even line of business system data. And so a developer can build applications that are based on the search metaphor. Rather than a structured hierarchical way of looking for information, you can actually go and drive it based on search. What do you want to do? Tell me, and I'll lead you through the process. So some really exciting things that we did with search, improving the ability to find information and the way it's visualized, and allowing a very extensive set of customization that a developer can use to build search-based applications. Two other things we saw happening in terms of insights and composites was people connecting into back-end systems and showing that in SharePoint. So the SharePoint environment wasn't being contained in and of itself. As I mentioned earlier, people are connecting out and putting line of business data into it. As long as I've got a portal that people are going to, if I want to have somebody find information about one of our accounts or one of our customers, or if I want people to look up their HR information, why send them off to some other application or some other website? They already know SharePoint. They're already there. Why can't I just pop up a SharePoint web page and have that show their W-2 form or show their employee record and address or do their time off reporting? Or why can't I have that be where they find that invoice that they're looking for if they're not a power user of the CRM system, or if they're not a power user of the ERP system? Why can't they just do that in SharePoint? And if they do that in SharePoint, then we can connect it to all the collaborative process. We can put search in there. We can take advantage of all those capabilities. So we saw people doing that by building standalone web parts connecting to the back-end systems for both BI, business intelligence and data analysis, and also for transactional updates of data and viewing of data. So what we did in the 2010 release, stuff that we had started earlier but really moved forward in this latest release, is allowed for a method to connect through the server side of SharePoint to these back-end systems and provide authenticated secure access with single sign-on, one of the key values that you get out of the box, and then put that right into the SharePoint environment so the developer can go build those connections and the person designing the site can just go and grab those, a list that happens to point to the back end of an SAP system or a CRM system, or a web part that shows the status of your Salesforce effectiveness or something like that, in a business intelligence report or a performance point web part or what have you. So by bringing all of those workloads together and making that available on the single platform, we continued to add value to the IT organization that was trying to consolidate and create a platform that they could go forward with. Now, we did a deployment survey. When was it? About 4 to 6 months ago. And we talked to our early adopters of 2010 and the people that have SharePoint 2010 and our people who are using the 2007 release extensively. And we asked who is the most satisfied with their implementation. SharePoint has a great deal of satisfaction, some of the very high satisfaction numbers in the marketplace. So we knew we had a good base to go to, but we wanted to find out the people that were really exceptional. And we found that the individuals, now this was both IT departments and end users, who were most satisfied with their SharePoint implementations was directly correlated to the people who had chosen SharePoint deliberately as a platform for these types of collaborative applications. So again, that goes back to the value. When people decided that this is the way we're going to build apps going forward, this is the way we're going to provide collaborative experiences for our end users, this is the way we're going to do ad hoc collaborative process, and the way we're going to build new applications within the organization that fit the collaboration scenarios, then people were more satisfied. IT felt they got more value out of the product. And again, this was from a very satisfied base, so this goes to the extreme level of satisfaction. And the end users got it and said, SharePoint is fundamental to the way we do business. It's critical. I see the value. Now, the other group, which was frankly quite a bit larger, so this was in the 5 to 10 to 20% range, you know, kind of up there. The other 80%, we'll just use the 80-20 rule, it was roughly aligned to that. The 80%, they were using SharePoint for either a very tactical reason or for the very base functionality. So they were using SharePoint to store documents. That's what I saw it as. Or they were using SharePoint for just some really basic portal work. and not really looking beyond that or didn't really have a plan beyond that. And maybe there were a few departments doing some ad hoc stuff, or someone would do a project and they go, oh, that's done on SharePoint? Great, we'll take it. But it wasn't really a deliberate effort. So that's kind of a message for the people in the audience and online here today, that as you think about SharePoint, if you want to take full advantage of it and you want to make sure that your organization gets the highest value out of it, or your customers if you're a consultant or an ISV, really helping them understand the full vision of how far SharePoint can go and be used beyond the basis, and making a conscious effort to utilize it in that way within your organization is a great way to increase the value and the perception, and of course at the same time increase the value that you can bring to the organization. In order to make that possible and do it in a way to provide all of these capabilities in a manageable way, one, we really invested heavily in the way it integrates with .NET. And so as you go through the sessions today, you should, if you're .NET, how many people are .NET developers to one degree or another? Okay, fantastic. Kind of the target audience that we, I think, advertise the Firestarter events to. You should feel very comfortable in the environment. If you're not a .NET developer, it can now be. It used to be you had to do a lot of stuff that was sort of like .NET, but a little bit off to the side. Now we've really aligned it. So if you're comfortable in .NET, you should be very comfortable in SharePoint. And if you're new to .NET, this is a great way to build really high-value apps with a lot of services that are out of the box. So that's what we started with to begin with, an extensible .NET platform. But SharePoint, that's for the developer. SharePoint can also be configured or extended with code. So there's a lot you can do in SharePoint without having to go and write code. So if you're not a .NET developer, you can do quite a bit with SharePoint, just using SharePoint Designer and things like that. So if you're in an organization where you are a developer and you want to make sure you get the full power of SharePoint, knowing the role of here's what I develop in SharePoint versus here's what can be configured is a really powerful way to think about it. As a developer, you'll create workflow activities, you'll create custom web parts, you'll create business connectivity connectors into back-end systems, and specific UI elements and so forth. And then you can either design that for an out-of-the-box kind of experience, or you can put that out there as components for the people who are doing configuration to essentially create and configure the sites in the way that they feel most appropriate. So really getting that understanding too as you go through the sessions and seeing, oh, here's where I would develop and build in .NET, and here's where someone would then take what I've built and construct the end product out of. It's really one of the most powerful things about the product, and a big value proposition, is you can build it and really literally reuse it through configuration. And then we'll talk today in a couple of sessions, and I'll introduce it a little bit, about how we're more broadly extending the user base of SharePoint by bringing the capabilities to the cloud. I mentioned before, the size of the business before, that if you go out to the United States, any large organization, if you go worldwide, that's largely the same too. There are a couple of regions that have more or less adoption of SharePoint, but largely speaking, the bigger organizations worldwide use SharePoint, have it, and it's an opportunity to build on. But when you get down to the lower end of the market, smaller organizations, maybe growing and agile, but smaller in size and with less IT resources, they might only be using the very basics, SharePoint Foundation, the free version that you can use with Windows Server, for documents, for just storing documents and so forth. And as we go to the online offering, we'll be able to richly broaden that user base, which, again, creates more opportunities for people to bring value to those organizations with applications specific to the needs of those organizations. So that's SharePoint 2010, the overall capabilities that you can utilize in your development to build more into the product. Let's talk a little bit more about that process. I talked about configuration versus extending with code. Well, out of the box, we have a couple of very straightforward experiences. If you just install SharePoint, the first thing you can do is create sites, such as the team site. I can go there when I've installed it. If I'm given permission, I can go and say, I want to create a new site. And that site might have a specific template form. I want this to be a project site, so I have a library for my documents. I might have a list of announcements on the project. I might put a task list up there. I can add the users, the people that are members of the project, and I can give them different levels of permissions, and off I go. Those people can now access that site and get the latest information on the project or on the team or what have you that I'm working. I can also, as just, you know, right out of the box, I can build out lists and I can add information and I can manage which type of list I'm going to build, a couple of out-of-the-box type templates, and then I can go modify those, and it's pretty straightforward, and of course manage documents. But once I get to be a power user of that, this is that configuration stage, I can now build some pretty basic workflows for approval of documents or for content that I want to publish to the site, and I can set those up myself. I can create data view web parts. So if I have a data source that I'm familiar with, back-end database, I can simply select that and display that, and it'll pop up as a list, an external list inside of SharePoint. So that's great. I can do configuration and branding so that I can, you know, make it look the way I want to. I might want it to adopt the corporate look and feel. In fact, one of my favorite features to show when I'm talking to somebody in the marketing department that says, our websites all look different, I go say, well, give me the PowerPoint template that you guys use. Oh, the one that we spent a whole lot of money with a marketing firm to put our logo on and get the right colors and the right font? Yep. Suck that into SharePoint Designer. Bam. Applies to all the sites. And they're, oh, that's perfect. That's great. Our IT department will be so much more effective at adopting our PowerPoint templates that change every 6 months. So, you know, little things like that that really make it powerful and ease some of the pain that we've seen as people have managed websites. And so that's all done without code. You just suck that in, doing it within SharePoint Designer. It's great. Manage your page layouts, move stuff around, put in RSS feed here, put in the announcements there, maybe put a picture or image library in one place, and you get to do that. And then one of the things we added is a more extensible form support. So when you have a custom list, a list that you've configured to, you know, have the right data and content, you can now, you know, not just have that default form that pops up in SharePoint, but you can use InfoPath using the client editor. You can make that form look exactly the way you want, and then it serves it up in the web environment. And that's a very straightforward thing to do. And you also have the full power of InfoPath there, so you can do just basic form editing, or you can even put a lot of logic and filtering and autocomplete and edit checks and so forth right within the form there. So a lot of stuff you can do just as a power user of SharePoint. But then you go to the development side. Now we bust open Visual Studio, select a SharePoint project, and all of that is your, being familiar with Visual Studio, you know what that experience is like. All of the underlying stuff gets created for you, and you're ready to start building out your web part or your full site or what have you. Custom templates you can build out. You can make that connectivity to line of business systems. You can do now code-based workflows, add new activities and logic, and of course create custom web parts and do really detailed UI customizations, and using Silverlight or other technologies, create very specific ways that you might want to interact with the application. So we have that full range of power, and then of course it goes back the other way where once you create something as a developer, like I mentioned before, you can then publish that so that the SharePoint designer configurer can go and grab it and use it. And once that's set up, then of course the end user can access that and get the full power of the capabilities in an environment that's familiar and accessible. And all of that done, often there's that battle between IT and development. I used to be in a development shop when I first started my career. It was a mainframe development shop. And we were trying to move to client server, but a lot of our data extracts had to be done on the mainframe. So I'd go work with the client, and I'd say, this is what we need to do. Okay, great. I'd go talk to the developer. The developer would say, great, we can do that. That's not very hard. We'll take this data set, we'll sort it, we'll mix it with that, and then we'll put it output, grab the client's data, and then we will have our end result. You can load that into your data warehouse and do your decision support reporting on that. I'd say, fantastic. And we'll run that the first 2 months to make sure it works. Then we'll pass it over to the IT department production group to run. And everything was always smooth till you had to pass it over to the production group, because the production group would look at it and say, no, I'm not running this in my data center. This code, you know, takes too many resources, too many disks, you're hitting that. We had people that were, you know, downstairs moving tape around, and they'd say, you move too much tape. Yeah. And so there's always that tension between IT and developers. Developers can move forward agile, and IT says, well, this is just going to create instability in the environment. Your stuff isn't fully tested. I'm not sure I want to bring it on. And so SharePoint, as we built it out, we've tried to balance that with things like sandbox solutions and other things, so you can keep that agility of development, but IT can still manage it effectively. They can predictably scale. They can make sure that using sandbox solutions, that developer code doesn't bring down the entire environment. and that you can be a little more flexible in rolling things out to end users and putting more in the hands of end users, people that do configuration and developers, so that the solutions can be brought forward faster. So that's an underlying thing that you should see as you get more familiar with the 2010 release of SharePoint, and certainly something that we invest in. And that allows you to create these deep business solutions. That goes back to the vision of the most satisfied customers. Yes, the out-of-the-box stuff that we started with way back in 2003 is very valuable. Although not sexy, keeping your documents up to date, secure, and available is very important. Creating portals used to be sexy, no longer sexy. Now it's just basic stuff, right? But very valuable, because you can allow users to update that without IT having to do stuff. But when you really get the vision of SharePoint, you take that configurability and the development capabilities, and now you apply it to these very powerful business solutions. Search-driven applications, forms and workflows for managing document creation and processes, both formal and collaborative, connecting to line of business systems so that when you want to approve an invoice or work on that invoice, you can move it over to a collaborative environment and then put it right back into the transactional system that manages it. Exposing business intelligence information, like the screenshot shows here, with graphs, Gauge web parts, advanced Excel manipulations and pivot tables right within the SharePoint environment. That's all based on one data source, so you don't have data flying all around. And then, of course, pointing this all outside and doing your internet site development also within SharePoint. So that's where you can really take the product and get full advantage out of it by taking it in that direction. Now, in order to bring it to more people and bring it to organizations that don't have IT departments, we all, of course, know about the hype around the cloud. One of the core value propositions of the cloud is the fact that you can have world-class IT infrastructure, but manage in a shared environment for a low cost without having to run the servers on-premise on your own site and have worry about installs and updates and scaling out the architecture and peak requirements. It's all just there in the cloud, turned on for you once you subscribe. As we bring SharePoint there, now it's available today in what's called BPOS. Brand was just announced, I think, in October, that it will become Office 365, and the SharePoint online offering will be available within that Office 365 suite offer. That's going to be brought out aggressively to organizations of all sizes, but the net new opportunity is with those smaller organizations that haven't had access to SharePoint before. And so what we're working on is a really easy way, because we don't have an hour to talk to them about the full capabilities of SharePoint, we really want the person that's subscribing to that to be able to, so they're looking at their email and the fact that they can do that, and they're looking at the Exchange online offer, and they're looking at they can do IM and VoIP and video conferences with the Link online offer. And then they get down to SharePoint, we want to be able to make them understand just immediately what the core value is of SharePoint. So we're working on exactly how we're going to describe that. It'll look something like this. We just want to be really clear with them so that they can get the vision of how they can immediately adopt the product, so that once they're using it, then solutions can be built on top of that. Similar to what we did in the enterprise, we started with the 2003 release of SharePoint that had those two basic value propositions, and then it expanded out from there. And we'd like to see the same thing happen within the online environment. So what we'll be talking about is, and as we've tested it, we found that this is, that top line there is one of the highest value things we tested. We tested all kinds of different things you can do with SharePoint. And smaller organizations said, I still have pain sharing documents and information with colleagues and customers. It's hard to do. And I don't trust the security, and I don't want to use necessarily, you know, just pop it out on some third-party site that I'm not sure if the security's there. I certainly don't want to email documents around, because then you lose control of them. So we got right down to that, and that was the first thing people wanted. And then we could go down and say, the way you do this is you have your site, which has the ability to share information with colleagues, kind of like a social networking site like Facebook, but it's targeted at the business. And of course, you can share other types of content too, not just your status updates, not just photos, but also documents and information about your firm and so forth. You can create team sites for working on projects. We all know the value of how SharePoint just gets that, that has a real high value proposition right there. And you can also do this with external people. So it's not just inside your organization. If you're a small organization, most of your work might be with other organizations. If you make windshield wipers, you might do a whole lot of work with a large auto manufacturer. If you're a store, you might be working with all your suppliers that bring in that content and all your personnel that work out in the field doing installations or what have you. So you've got your internet sites, and then of course you have your websites. And we've tested this and worked, it seems to resonate pretty well. People get it right away, but it does create the opportunity as they build on it, or as they utilize this, to then build on it and take full advantage of the SharePoint platform, just like we're seeing in the larger organizations. So I'd like to show a little bit of that. I'd like to introduce my colleague Mark Cashman, Senior Technical Product Manager on the SharePoint team, to come show a little bit about our online offer. So I'll stay out with him here and ask a few questions and give color commentary.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
I'm just going to log in here, and we'll get a nice view, if I can get my password right. And let me know when.
Looks like it's there.
All right.
So what are we looking at here, Mark?
So we're going to kind of go through what you just talked about. What are the different types of sites you can run on SharePoint Online? And so we'll spend just a couple minutes just to give a couple proof points so you can see what is SharePoint 2010 as a hosted service look like in the online world. So I first want to, and I hope my intent will be to show you things you haven't seen yet. These are some of the specific UI elements that we've written on top of SharePoint to make it a little bit more accessible to the broader community. So when you first sign into the Office 365 environment as an end user, the first things you're going to want to do is to be able to access your email, access your calendar, maybe start off instant messaging and download the client and start doing things like webcasting or talking to other people. But certainly when it comes to SharePoint, we want to be able to visit our site. So as an admin, you can program what this link points your end users to. The end user will come here and visit their home site. Also, we'll be able to digitally download Office Pro, and we're calling that Office Pro Plus. So this is where the end user comes to basically consume all of the services of Office 365.
So imagine being able to provide the latest information worker technology with latest version of Office, latest email server and client, latest instant messaging, video, voice, and then the full power of SharePoint online just right there with no IT support, just a solid web connection.
Yeah,
so that's the idea.
Right? This is the full suite, the full breadth of productivity that Microsoft offers, and it's very accessible. So this is a UI just in terms of the launching pad. As an admin, very similar UI elements. This is where I would go to manage Exchange Online, to manage SharePoint Online, Link Online. This is where I'm going to go also to control my users. So if I want to connect with Active Directory, I can do Active Directory Federation. And when I drill into that, you'll see it's really very wizard-driven. I do have to have the right credentials and security to access the two environments. But once I do it, what's that? Sure. You bet. I'm just going to do kind of an overall just so hopefully it's a little bit easier.
Does that work?
A little
bit better?
Can
you see that in the back? Bigger?
If I can go bigger. We can always kind of dance around, making sure you'll be able to see. How's that?
That work?
Thanks. You're welcome.
No problem.
So this is where I would go basically to manage my users. And if I'm federating with Active Directory, which we enable in Office 365, I can go in and pull in all those users and then start to allocate them with the different licensings, depending on what capabilities I want them to have.
What if I'm a small organization that's not using Active Directory? How do I add my users there?
We basically just upload a CSV file, so we provide a sample. You don't have to have Active Directory. You won't have had federated single sign-on in terms of if you're using Active Directory, but if you're using your main credentials as your Office 365 credentials, then you just bring in all your users in a pretty simple to fill out CSV file. You can do it manual upload, but if you do it through the spreadsheet, you just upload all your 50, 500, 5,000 users, and they're right there, and then you just, again, do the same exercise of assigning licenses. Pretty straightforward. So now if I move into managing all of my services, what we're talking about here in this session is SharePoint. So what is managing SharePoint? So for all the IT pros in the audience, or if you want to at least have the information as a developer of how do I hand off and work with my IT pro, In the online world, this is where the IT pro or your admin is going to be living. So they may have come and they may be in charge of administering all of the services, or you can delegate and just have a SharePoint Online administration person. So this is where I go and create my new site collections, and we'll go through and see a bunch of them. But in this account, and everything you're seeing here is in our beta today. So this is SharePoint 2010 hosted as a service in beta right now in Office 365. And this is kind of that UI component to the administration. So these are all the site collections I've created. To create a new one is very easy. I just go in and create with a custom path. I'm just going to do short term. I can go in here and decide if I want a different language. Right now in the beta, we've got 6 languages. In the final, we'll be hosting all 40 languages worldwide. So we'll have a really nice offering in terms of how you set up the sites and who uses them. But if I want to go in here and set up a collaborative site, a meeting site, all the templates here that you are familiar with, or if you're not, you can see here, come out of the box. Especially, we'll be looking at a custom portal. But for now, I'm just going to spin up a new team site. I'm going to have myself on here as the admin. You'll see here I can do the people picker. So if I am federated with Active Directory, this is the source of where this information is going to come. If not, it'll be coming from the directory service in online. And then I can allocate how much space. And you can see that I've got 4,300 megabytes left, so we'll just give this site, since it's going to be a lightweight one, just 100 megabytes. So while that spins, it'll take about 2 or 3 minutes for it to provision essentially a new site collection, which would be where we can start all of our new custom development, where we can add our new experiences, where people will have their new project sites or the company portal or whatever that they choose to put in that site collection. So while that's spinning around, I'm going to show you one other thing in this area, and just to show you how we enable external sharing. It's really simplified in terms of what you consider in the past or for the on-premises products of terms of extranet. We're labeling it, instead of extranet, it's just simple external sharing. Because what you're doing here is leveraging the power of the farm that we've established as a tenant of the farm, and then at the site collection level, just enabling sharing to that site collection with external users.
How does an external user authenticate then to get on?
So when they're invited into the system, they're going to actually authenticate through the same system as the internal users. But because they're invited externally, they're going to go through the Microsoft Services Online Directory Service, which is effectively Live ID for Office 365. And then once they go through that authentication system, they authenticate the same as an internal user, but they're only being authenticated for the individual site collection that they were invited to. Once they have an online ID, then they can be invited by multiple customers. It doesn't mean you have to manage 4 or 5 different credentials for 4 or 5 different projects.
But then
once you're in, the
person who runs the site can give them the access that they want to the site. So they're allowed to get onto the site, then the site administrator or the person who's managing the site can say, you can read only, you can edit, or they can even block them
Absolutely.
At that level, right?
So the site collection owner or administrator can basically assign them as read only in initially. Once they're in the system and maybe they have 4 or 5 different people from a vendor or a constituent that's that they're working with, they can assign them all different levels of permission. At that point, it's just SharePoint.
Just like
they've
a regular
ever done
user.
Any permissions. But again, they're only in that single site collection they are invited into. So what I'm doing here is just setting up this site collection to enable external users to be invited. So you'll see over here in this column where it says deny or allow. This particular one, which is my parent site collection for this tenancy, I can just go in here and manage external users, and it's going to ask me, do you want to allow them? Or the default right now is deny. So I'm going to say allow. When it hits save, it's going to say, are you sure? Just another check to make sure that, yes, I want to open this up to a broader audience. And again, this is going to spin around a little bit. You'll see now our site collection has finished creation. I can drill into that. And you'll see, really on day one, it's just a vanilla SharePoint site. And really the rest of the demo is going to show you all the power of what you can do to extend that. So let me close this out. So that's our new SharePoint site. Back to our admin center. A couple things I'm not going to show, but I just want to mention. As an admin, I can also, once people have been introduced into the site, I can go in and on their behalf control some of their user profiles, adjust security groups and permissions that affect the overall tenancy. So how that choice that I make here would then waterfall down into individual site collections or individual sites so that I can do some of that parent management like I think I would in the farm on premises, but at the level of our customers working in Office 365, it's at the tenant level. And I'll be more clear on what that means as we drill in a little bit further. And then finally, one other thing that we have at the parent level is term store. So if you ever do any taxonomy work, just bringing in a master metadata structure that your customers provide or want to have available to them, this is where you go. And it's pretty straightforward. I've just worked a new metadata taxonomy structure. Again, it's a CSV file that I filled out. We provide a sample over here. You download that, and then you can add in very quickly your own taxonomy elements. And you'll see here, I've just put in about 20 or so terms, and I've just added them very easily through the UI here, where I can just right-click and add a new group or a new taxonomy or even adjust a term at this level that then cascades and can be consumed at the site collection level.
And when you say consumed at the site collection level, that taxonomy then applies to all the sites for that tenant?
Yep. So if I upload a new piece of content on this new site collection that we created, any end user that uploads a document or is wanting to apply metadata to a page can then go in and as they start to type in keywords or pull down dropdowns, that will be managed at a corporate level. And that's where you manage it at a parent level. I can always change it or add new at the individual site collection level. But certainly for managed metadata, corporate-wide, right, that's where it would start.
Right.
So now we're looking at still a pretty vanilla SharePoint site. I've just added here a couple of elements. You're going to see more of these as I click through a couple pages. But this is really a shared documents full of Silverlight ZAP files. And there's a couple fun ones that I'll be going through. But I wanted to start off with just talking about sandbox solutions. The session that's at 1 o'clock today is going to go really into the how you build it, showing Visual Studio, packaging, some of the nuances of how you deploy up into SharePoint. Online. What I'm going to show is just a sandbox running and then sort of the underbelly of just where that was uploaded and how it was activated. And if you're familiar with sandbox solutions at this stage, it's not going to be much different. But what this particular sandbox solution does is it just goes and grabs list data and displays it. So we're going to go on a movie theme here, and it's just going to go in and grab that list data and put it into a format in terms of visually showing that list that looks a little bit more like an Excel table. And I've got a couple of other lists that I can go in here and just look at the announcements, and it's doing the same thing. It's just going to that back-end list and showing it. So it's a pretty simple Hello World type web part. But what I'm going to show you now is if I go into my site settings, and at the site collection level I go into my solutions gallery, you'll see this is that Hello World web part. It was built in Visual Studio, packaged up as a WSP, and then brought into SharePoint Online, again, by the IT pro or the administrator or the site collection owner, and uploaded here and activated.
This is a great example of what we were talking about earlier, where in Visual Studio, developer writes a web part, yep, makes that available, packages that up. The administrator then says, hey, am I going to let my people building out these sites and configuring the sites use it? If so, yes, it shows up here.
Yep.
And then people that are configuring sites can just go and grab that and use it. So a very efficient way to create a usable component that can then be used across the entire organization, yep, as appropriate.
Yep. And from a developer's perspective, this is you're just building a sandbox solution. It is one of the things that we do support in SharePoint Online. We also support Silverlight. We support the client object model and the use of Silverlight reaching out and bringing data in. We'll show some of that, but again, you're going to see that really in how you do it in Chris's session at 1 o'clock. So moving beyond this and just showing a couple examples of some of these Silverlight different ways of displaying, one of the things that Eric mentioned was just pure configuration. So this particular web part here is showing those same announcements. I was just pulling that one from the sandbox solution. This is actually showing it in a data view web part. So this is a way to view just a list that's been populated in the back end. You don't have to even expose it here on the left-hand nav. This is just a hidden list, and I'm just showing that, and this is pure configuration. This isn't even development.
So this web part comes out of the box.
So this is an out-of-box data view web part.
The other one, it's coded to make it look like a grid.
Exactly.
So, that's
so the big difference here visually is we added a button that did something.
Right.
This is just using the web part to display it as we designed it.
And the user designing it just says, I have web parts I can use, and they grab it. They actually don't know the difference.
So, the data view web part, I think, is kind of for the power user, but they don't have to be a developer. But if you know how the data view web part works, you go in and configure it. We all know sort of that right-hand view when you open up to configure a web part. I'll just show you here. When you go into edit, essentially what you're doing is you're going in and making choices of how you want to visualize that web part. And you'll see over here on the right-hand side.
Can you zoom in?
I will. Uh, So this is where I would go and you know, either edit the current view if I wanted to do that, but if I wanted to get more detailed, this is where you're going to really go and control that data view web part. And it's just been configured, and I'll kind of scroll down here so you can see a little bit better, just so it has basically a grid layout. If I had another announcement, it would land right here. Next one would land right here, and it just follows that pattern.
Now, for those that aren't familiar with SharePoint development, when you're going and building these web parts, when you do a custom web part inside Visual Studio, those kind of ability for the end user to configure, that's, you're all helped along with that passage. You can create what elements do you want to allow to be configurable, and then when the end user grabs it and puts it there and hits edit web part, they have the same type of experience.
Yep, absolutely.
Right?
That right-hand side is also customizable, so that if you want to add elements to be able to browse and add a document that then is exposed here, by default, maybe a template that you want to have that's exposed in another web part, that whole right-hand side is what you would build in Visual Studio. But then for the end user who just drags, drops, and adds it to the page, you know, they're not going to go into Visual Studio, and they'll have direct access to whatever that web part enables. So I'm going to start going into some of the configurations, but also show you a little bit of development. But I first wanted to start with just really emphasizing some of the enterprise features that we're bringing to SharePoint Online. So we're bringing Excel services, we're bringing Access services, we're bringing Visio services and InfoPath form services to the cloud. This is SharePoint Online. This is not available in BPOS today. So this is what's coming in Office 365. And this really gives either a power user or a developer a greater set of tools to be able to pull and munge data and basically show it here on the page.
What so, about report services?
Reporting services, that is not supported in the cloud. So SQL Server reporting services,
yes.
It's under consideration, but at our first initial day one on GA, it won't be there. But certainly Excel services. Good feedback, because we want it there too. So what you're looking at here is really just a graph that I've pulled from a spreadsheet that's hosted in this shared documents folder. And I won't go through just to show you the document, but I could go in, make a change to the Excel spreadsheet. Maybe I go in and add Caracas and give them a little better numbers for this sales cycle. And you would see that, obviously, in the Excel spreadsheet, I make the change, the graph changes. Once I save that back into the shared documents folder, this too graph would change when I hit F5. And it's really just the power of Excel services to be able to make a REST call to that spreadsheet hosted in SharePoint Online and give it a more end-user accessibility. So this is not the person who's managing the data. This is a person who can come in and has just taken a quick look. Maybe this is kind of a poor man's dashboard. But it's really great use of Excel services.
What if the developer that made that REST, created that web part, made the REST call to the spreadsheet, can they make that active so they could click and open up the spreadsheet?
Absolutely. So you could build around. All I've done here is I've just gone in and
you've
said,
done the call and
I want to
the
add
data.
An image to the page. And even though it's you say add image, you can add a RESTful call to create an image. If I want to build out little buttons, which you'll actually see when we see a little bit of what we've done with Silverlight, I can make this a lot more dynamic. And I'm going to show you two more examples of how we use Excel services just to kind of bang home on what I could do. Me, and I'll admit I'm not a deep developer, but what I can do a simple configuration or with working with a developer, what we can accomplish with things like Silverlight. So again, here's another view of just pulling in another graph from a spreadsheet. But down here, you'll see we've got another web part called the Excel Web Access web part. It gets a little tricky because we do support Excel web app, and we support the other three, PowerPoint web app, Word web app, in terms of the Office web apps in Office 365. But this is a dedicated web part so that I can pull in a spreadsheet, a full worksheet or full workbook, into an Excel web access web app, web part, and now I can start to do some of the things that you were asking. So I can go in and navigate through the different components of that spreadsheet. But still, from an end-user perspective, I'm not opening up Excel. I don't require the client. I don't even require that they are using that they have a special license. This is just an end-user who's coming in and just being able to see the data, but being able to navigate through it. Up here is maybe I just want to show one element. Down here is where I want somebody to be able to go through all the different elements. And some are just tables, and some are just graphs. And you'll see it's really just Excel exposed through a real easy end-user accessibility.
And if you want to make it available and somebody wants to get to that full spreadsheet, of course, they can click on the
edit. Yep, if they have access to go into the shared documents folder, actually not that documents folder, into the reports folder, you'll see here's where all of those spreadsheets that we've been navigating through, this is where they're located. You may not want to expose that whole document library. So you just take it out of the left-hand nav, you put special permissions around that document library. But when I go back to the page that we were on, this is essentially where you want your 100 or 500 people to come to get a view on how we do in this month.
Now, we're running a little bit short on time,
yep.
So I'm going to point out something in terms of what's different about SharePoint Online, because there was one question that was asked about, hey, can we do SQL Server reporting services? There are two big things that you'll want to be aware of that aren't available in the first version of Office 365. Now, there's several little differences, but the two main ones are full trust code. If you're a SharePoint developer, you can imagine why we don't allow that on SharePoint Online, because we don't want someone to bring down the entire farm. Full trust code does require a lot of testing and a lot of, you know, ensuring that your resources will be well managed, et cetera. So we do sandbox solutions, but not full trust code. And then for data access, at this time, we're not allowing you to go and get data outside of the SharePoint environment. So you'll notice what we have here are spreadsheets and lists. You can do sandbox development and all kinds of exciting things with that content stored inside of SharePoint. And that could be of various types, list, Excel, and other types. But you're not able to go outside through business connectivity services or directly from SharePoint itself. And so that's an important, those are two important things to be aware of. Now, we do intend, of course, to explore what customers are needing and build those into SharePoint over the longer term. And we're definitely considering both reporting services and certainly BCS and other things, and we'll be talking more about that in the future. But I think it's good to note that there are some things that we're limiting at first as we work out how to best make those available in the online world.
Absolutely. So I've got about two more minutes, if I can just show you a couple more web parts that we've built. This is actually making a call into Netflix as a service, so using Silverlight to make a call out to the internet and pull this data back in. So do we have any sci-fi adventurists out there? This is just going to go and pull basically a list that's managed by Netflix through Silverlight, and I can actually go in here, and if I were signed in or authenticated as me for Netflix, I could actually save Blade and watch it tonight or wait for it to come in the mail. So another way to view those spreadsheets that we were looking at, this is a really nice web part that we've built that is just basically using Silverlight to make a call into that back-end data. So this is four different regions that we're pulling in and just giving a nice graphical view. So instead of using that kind of image paste and you just get the graph, this is adding Silverlight to really make it a nice end-user experience where we're pulling that same data, same graph, same everything. It shouldn't be a surprise of what it is, but just giving it kind of that, you know, better end-user accessibility and look and feel. And this is the kind of activities when you're, as a developer, building these experiences. These aren't months of work. This is, you know, nice, quick Silverlight using the power of Excel services and then just the power and security of where that data is stored. So the last two things, and these will take about 30 seconds each, is when we talk about company portals, absolutely you can use SharePoint Online to build custom templates, custom portals. And as a developer, that's a great opportunity to be able to not only build the design look and feel, but to be able to add those elements that are in the page to work with the designer to be able to bring those custom experiences in. So this is just a sample company portal we've built for Prosware. And as you'll see, if I navigate through just a couple of these things, this gives those different departments the ability to basically call out the main parent-level information they want. Has that same master page, same elements that are common, in terms of color, logo, and navigation structure. But you'll see here as I navigate through a couple of them, it does have the different choices that those different departments have made, even to the extent of the IT department, you know, calling out certain alerts, HR, you know, populating different forms. And then finally what I wanted to show, and I'm showing you here in Firefox, is that internet component. These are lightweight, simple sites. It's free. It's a component of Office 365, where we think small and medium-sized businesses will be able to take advantage of the ability to have their websites. Right now in the beta, we don't home to a vanity URL, but absolutely this could be www.prosware.com. And this is actually work that I've done in about an hour and a half. And that's not a proof of I work fast or I'm a good designer, but really just a proof that these are simple sites, anybody can design them, and they're very template driven. And so the last thing I want to show is just what does that mean, template driven. So that home site, I'll go to it one more time, is actually managed as a page in a SharePoint list. And when I click on it, it's going to call out a new tool that I hope none of you have seen called Site Designer. And Site Designer, different from SharePoint Designer, is it's just built as a ribbon tool to specifically build out and manage this page. So you can quickly customize it to your heart's content. Some of the things are out of the box. Some of the things that you can add in terms of visual elements, obviously a lot of the text. And it's just another component that will be shipping with Office 365. Another great value as far as extending the audience reach in terms of who's going to use SharePoint Online. And it's just an end result. We just wanted to show you today another aspect of hopefully something you haven't seen that is SharePoint coming in the future.
That's great. Well, thanks, Mark. Really appreciate you coming out and Absolutely. Showing some of the power of Office 365 and how we'll be bringing the power of SharePoint out to SharePoint Online. We're about out of time, so if you could stay for questions,
Absolutely.
We'll do a couple minutes of questions, and I will just flip to the last slide here. Certainly want SharePoint development everywhere, and I'll leave the take the next step. Hope everyone takes full advantage of this event. The purpose, again, of what we wanted to present today was to give a level set of the power of SharePoint, how it can be used at a top level from development. So as you go through the rest of the day, whether it's looking at on-premises development or at 1 o'clock the online version, the online session, talking about online development, you'll have kind of a reference of where you can put it. But as you can see, as Mark went through that quick little demo, knowing the capabilities of SharePoint is what really unlocks the power of what you can do. Once you know you can do something like accessing the Excel and Excel services, it unleashes an entirely new path from which you can take SharePoint and SharePoint development. So really encourage you to dig in deep, get the overview that's available today, and then take it forward and continue gaining your knowledge and understanding and look at a lot of the community solutions. We have one of the most vibrant communities, both on the developer and the IT pro side within the SharePoint world. And really just some exciting things that are being built. So you can be inspired by them and, of course, learn what the capabilities are at the base through training sessions like this and others. So before we wrap up, a couple of questions that from the audience. Yeah.
I'm involved with people put together a product for healthcare. And, you know, there's a public-facing interface. People come in, see the site, but then they want to enter the community. So, you know, certainly it's not an Active Directory thing. So you're saying for authentication, they do a live ID login at that point. And I'm not sure really what's happening underneath. I'm thinking in terms of membership services. That's a paradigm I'm used to.
Sure. Now, are you talking about, if you're talking about an on-premises installation versus an online, are you talking about one or the other or just generally?
This is online. And
then, this is online.
And by the way, people come into the community, their company hopefully becomes a customer, and then we can go in as administrators and associate them with more detailed information for that company. But there's really kind of a three-phase. There's a public.
So you're at your public site, and then right. you want some external users to be able to link from that into an extranet site, essentially, that's authenticated.
A public community. Anybody can come into it. And, you know, then later on we want to associate. The last step, I see how that happens. But I'm not sure what happens when they, you know, do their live ID login. Where is that stored? We're not going to be using Active Directory to do that.
Yeah, I think the kind of the tough answer on day one is that may not be a scenario that's right for online at our initial onset into Office 365. Mm-hmm. It's a great scenario for SharePoint. And when Eric was asking about, you know, an on-premises installation, it is that you're having basically an internet site, what we would typically look at the SharePoint for internet sites, the FIZ offering.
Yeah, that wouldn't have to be, the public-facing wouldn't have to be SharePoint, but...
Right, but once you log in, and then if you're then accessing SharePoint, you want to be able to log in as a named user, which you can from Office 365 perspective invite external users, but to really have that personalized experience, who is a member of the community, and then they maybe see things differently or they have different access.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it would be set up through Office 365 is more from a simple sharing collaborative scenario. When you log in from a website and then you're, you know, going through it, you're probably going through different authentication mechanisms,
mm-hmm.
which are possible with SharePoint, you know, with the full on-premises product. In Office 365, the way that we tie to our Live ID system is so that you do it from SharePoint. Not necessarily from an external system that then hops into SharePoint.
Okay, so you have to invite them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could accomplish exactly. what you're trying to accomplish, but maybe not in the way that you would want for your end user to enter in just as whomever they are as part of the community and then have access to SharePoint. You would have to invite them from SharePoint, and they would go directly to SharePoint.
Right. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Can you apply form
authentication? So in online or in SharePoint on-premises? In online, sorry. Oh, on-premises, absolutely.
So repeat the question.
Yeah, sorry. So the question was, can you have forms-based authentication for SharePoint? And the answer is there are a number of different ways you can basically do claims. Online uses form-based authentication, so by default, on-premises would as well. What you can do then further with online or with on-premises is you could do two-factor authentication to be able to tie a third-party authentication system. And I believe it just needs to adhere to the standard of SAML, SAML 1.1 now, and targeting SAML 2.0 soon when it's available.
There are a few online questions here. The first one is SharePoint Online integrated with Dynamics or Microsoft CRM?
It is to the extent of if you are invested in both CRM Online and SharePoint Online. The CRM team has actually built what is effectively today an iframe. So if you have a new customer and you want to store specific documents about that customer and you want to create a new team site for that, you can do that all from within CRM. What will happen in the next wave, which is Office 365 plus a little bit, for when CRM gets a little bit more integrated, is you're actually going to have deeper integration, not just an iframe view into the documents, but actually populating and corresponding from CRM to SharePoint Online.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Another question a lot of people are asking this is, what is the ETA for Office 365?
What is the ETA? It we've talked about it being available this year.
Okay.
And I don't think we've given more specificity than that.
Okay.
Thanks. There was a question back.
Group security. Can you have vendor A? You know, I put like 10 users in it.
You're wanting to ask about different security groups that you can set up?
Set it as a group, not individual person. Not an individual person.
Is that online again? You're talking online?
Yeah, so in online, if you're using Active Directory, obviously we will pull over your security groups that you have established there, and we will just adhere to those policies. If you're using Active Directory or not, and you're starting to invite external users, you can create a security group that's just for those external users you invite. You do have to manage and set it up. It's not by default. But absolutely, once you're at that level, if you know permissioning and governance in SharePoint, from the site collection level to the invitation, you invite those people to that security group, and then you apply policy to that security group.
Take two more questions, and I apologize that we might have a few more questions, but there will be a lot of sessions through the rest of the day where hopefully you can get your specifics done. But if not, make sure you submit those, and we'll find a way to get your answers back. So in the back there.
Hi, thanks. I understand the restrictions for Office 365 or full trust. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that other one, if it's just a business connectivity services limitation or
It's more than business connectivity services in that the search, for example, uses BCS in order to index external sources. You can't go through that. And the BI external calls that you would make also can't go through that layer either. So essentially, the way to conceptually think about it is that in online, you can work within the sandbox to do custom development, but everything you do that you're accessing on SharePoint has to be within that SharePoint site environment. So you can call to a spreadsheet if it's loaded there into your site. You can call to a list if it's there contained within your site, but you can't go back to your on-premises line of business system. You can't go back to content and index it that's stored on your site or what have you. It's the way it is now, and again, we're looking at how to best do that from a security, from a performance standpoint, because we would like to extend. In fact, the long term, of course, is to bring the full power of SharePoint online and on-prem and make sure that your development is done once and works in both. That's kind of our long-term objective, but there are a couple of those limitations as we work through how to best do that. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay, great. One more question right there. Be good. It's an important clarification. I'll repeat the question. What I talked about was SharePoint calling out to external sources. You can, of course, as Mark showed, write a web part. There's a Silverlight web part that from the browser goes and calls out to, in this case, the Netflix. Was that what you showed? To a Netflix. So you could do it that way. One thing we want to provide guidance on, however, is that if you're doing line of business connectivity and you're coding that in the browser to call out from a web part, that's not always great architecture and design. So that's why we built BCS, so that you could manage authentication with a secure store, you could do caching, you could do other things like that inside of your data connector, and you didn't have to build a whole bunch of logic in a client-side web part that calls out into line of business systems and into data sources. It can be done. People do it all the time, but we do recommend when you do on-premises development that you actually take advantage of the core services of SharePoint. You get a lot of advantage there. And online, we're saying hold off a little bit in most cases, depending on what you're doing. If you're going and connecting to an external web service, fine. If you're doing a little weather web part or things of that nature, that works fine. But when you're doing real line of business logic and transactional, authenticated, you want to be careful with that. And actually, in most cases, people will want to wait until we have some of those services supported online also. But that's a good distinction to make between what you can do on the client side versus what the SharePoint server does. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Sorry to go over.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoy the rest of the session. I'd like to invite Mark up, who's going to continue the conversation, go right into the next session, and talk further about SharePoint development. Thanks, and enjoy the day.
Thank you.